Okay, welcome back. What we're going to talk about now, our next topic, is God's design for marriage, and this is the mind of the manufacturer and the design for the beloved. The first thing that we need to talk about before we even get into that is, what is the purpose of humanity? And what's really fascinating is that the first two human beings really represent all of us, right? So, God created man in his own image, and the image of God, he created him male and female. And what was God's purpose for that? God had two purposes. One was relationship. God created us for a relationship with himself. Okay? And the next one was vocation. We all have a life work that he designed us to carry out for him on the earth. Okay? And then God said, let us make man in our image according to our likeness, and let him have dominion over all the earth. So we have four questions. Why did God create man? We just answered. What does it mean to be created in God's image? What does it mean to have dominion over the earth? And why did God create male and female? And the answer to every single one of these questions is directly correlated to the mirror of God's design in our relationship with humans. So our relationship with God is mirrored in our relationship with each other. So God created man out of love. And here's God's word. I've loved you with an everlasting love, and I have drawn you with loving kindness. How great is the love of the Father that he has lavished on us that we should be called children of God. And that's from 1 John 3:1. And then we have, for I'm sure that neither death nor life nor angels nor rulers nor things present nor things to come nor powers nor height nor depth nor anything else in all of creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ our Lord. And that's Romans 8:37. Okay, so it is the nature of love to give of itself. It cannot give in isolation, right? In order for love to be fulfilled, it has to have something to love, and it has to give to its beloved. Okay? Now, this is from Miles Monroe. Is anyone here familiar with Miles Monroe? Yeah. I want to encourage you all, if you want to go deeper into your relationship studies, to read Miles Monroe. He has a lot of books on relationships. He's now passed on. But I consider him a spiritual father and get choked up and mentor to me. So a lot of the material that we're going to discuss today comes from Miles Monroe. Okay, so our God is a God of relationship, not isolation. This is really important, especially when we talk about the loneliness that people are experiencing and the isolation that they're feeling because of technology and the internet, right? So he desires someone of his nature and someone of his likeness whom he can love. He created man because he wanted to share his love with a being who is like himself and a being who is created in his image, right? So, love is giving, number one. The receiver has to be like the giver. This is really important. How many people do you know that are afraid of having a relationship, so they're in a relationship with their pets? Right? But the receiver has to be like the giver. You cannot meaningfully give to something that's not like you. Right? Because it can't receive in a way that's going to satisfy your giving or reciprocate. God desired a shared and mutual love, not a one-sided love. Right? And this is really important when we get into our dynamics between men and women. Okay. So, God's image. God drew man out of himself. There is no other being, not even angels, that are made in God's image. Man is a spirit, and spirit has no gender. And male and female are the physical forms that house the man. This is really important. Okay, this thing right here. And there's a lot of confusion that's going on right now about what does it mean to be a man and what does it mean to be a woman, right? In the dating and relationship coaching world, there's a lot of talk about masculine energy and feminine energy, right? And what that is. And people can get very hijacked and confused by that. I tried to figure it out for 10 years. For the life of me, I couldn't. Okay? Tried to implement it, everything. There is no masculine and feminine energy. Okay? There is a masculine and feminine biology. Right? So what this tells us, when God drew man out of himself, okay, he drew out man as a spirit. He called that spirit man. Together, meaning man and women. So the spirit, our spirit, is called man, and we have man, a male man, and we have a female man, right? So that's a really important concept, I think, for us. Now, when God created man, he made him in the likeness of God. He created them male and female and blessed them. And when they were created, he called them together man. Okay, so our spirit is man. The reason God created humanity was to establish a relationship of love with man, spirit man. Okay, God created man, the spirit man, in his own image so that the love could be freely given and received. This is really important in other cultures as well, because we have students who are watching this who are from all over the world, and there is a definitive difference between men and women not being equal in their society. And as a result of that, sometimes even taking biblical truth out of context and distorting it to abuse women, right? So men and women all have the same spirit made in the likeness of God called man. Okay, God is spirit, and his worshipers must worship in spirit and in truth. Now, as a matchmaker, this got me onto a really interesting topic, which is the soulmate. How many people have been confused by the soulmate topic? Right? How many people are you going to talk to that are going to be really confused about the soulmate? Is there one person out there who God chose just for me? Right? And some people, I mean, there's all kinds of definitions, the twin flames, and we're separated in the spirit world, right? And come together back on earth. There's a lot of confusion out there about that. So what we need to know is, what is a soul? I mean, that's the journey that I went on, which is, okay, if people are looking for a soulmate, what's the definition of a soul? Okay? The definition of a soul is your mind, your will, and your emotions. That's your soul. Now, if we look at the spirit, well, what's the difference? Because then it gets confusing, right? You say, well, what's the difference between a soul and a spirit? There is one. And our spirit is our conscience, intuition, and communication with God, right? So, when we're talking about people who don't have the Holy Spirit, right? They don't have this. And then, of course, the body is our flesh and our bones and our blood, and there's really fascinating biblical stuff on that that we can't get into today. But another time we can. So the next thing that's really interesting is that no human being can meet your soul needs, your spiritual needs, or your ego needs. That's something that you've got to go to God for. Okay? Okay. Now, one of the things that's interesting about this, right, is that I started, after researching the soulmate, researching kingdoms, right, and our inheritance as being Christians who are born again, right? And one of the things that I find really fascinating in the secular dating world is that there are a lot of coaching products that are out there that are about kings and queens, right? And for years, it would make me so angry. I would get so mad because I would think about, you know, Marie Antoinette or Anne Boleyn, you know, who were queens. You know, they were executed, right? A queen is a very dangerous job. I don't want that job. So I would look at some of these secular programs that were talking about kings and queens, right? And I didn't like them. And they also had a lot of that, like, male and masculine and feminine energy kind of component to them, right? I felt like they were really confusing for people. But what was really interesting is that I realized that they took a concept of truth and distorted it to meet the goals of the world, right? And so what is the concept that's true when you interpret the Bible is that, you know, God decided to establish a kingdom, right? So when you read the entire Bible from a kingdom perspective, everything is completely, completely different. Right? And so God didn't create the world to establish a religion. He wanted to expand his kingdom. Right? And when it talks about love and how love seeks to expand, right? This is exactly what's happening here. So God wanted to expand his kingdom, right? Expand his love because God is love. Right? And Jesus came back to restore the kingdom. This is a huge point when you are talking to secular clients, right, who are not Christian. Because they're going to say to you, oh, you're a Christian matchmaker, I'm not religious. My response to that is, neither am I. Right? And then they're interested in listening. Right? So that's how you get some open ears, I think, sometimes. Okay, so in applying this to the kingdom, we need to talk about our inheritance, okay? So, then the king will say to those on his right, come, you're blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. And then we have another one. And if children, heirs also, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ. Romans 8:17. Then we have one more. In the same way, God, desiring even more to show the heirs of the promise, the unchangeableness of his purpose, interposed with an oath. Right? God made an oath about our inheritance. So, inheritance is a birthright. And in our situation, it's a being born again birthright. Right? So we have kingdom, birthright, citizenship. There's a lot of talk about birthright citizenship right now. And we have birthright citizenship in the kingdom of God. Now, one thing that's really fascinating is that kings are landowners. And when you hear the dating advice of the world out there, it's going to tell you something that I'm sure a lot of you have heard before. Men are hunters. Anybody heard that? Men are hunters. Well, what does that make women? Prey. Right? Yeah. So I went back to my anthropology textbooks and I looked at kind of the evolution of civilization, right? And we start out with bands, tribes, and chiefdoms, right? Hunters and gatherers, right? And then once agriculture comes along, what happens? People become sedentary. Right? And then they start thinking about property and land ownership. And not too long after that, we have the emergence of kings and rulers in those situations. So it has been a very long time since men were hunters and women were prey. Okay? But there is a long history that we can draw from with men being landowners, right? So I don't say men are hunters. I say men are landowners. And if you start looking at relationships through the perspective of the kingdom and landownership, it becomes really fascinating, okay? So we talked about this already. Kings seek to expand and defend their territory, right? Now, I watched a really interesting movie on Netflix. It was called Mary Magdalene. Last time I went back, it wasn't available. I hope it becomes available to get again. It was fascinating. Now, I don't know how biblically accurate this story is, and I am assuming that they've probably drawn on some other writings that are outside the Bible and apocryphal scriptures to come up with this story. But whether it's fact or fiction, it doesn't really matter. There's an important concept that I saw in that movie. And the concept is that Mary Magdalene was living in Magdala with her husband. And her father had passed away, and he was the landowner of this property that was very substantial. Okay, of course, her and her husband inherited that property, and at that time it was very easy to get a divorce. In fact, divorce was even more prevalent in that time period than it is now, if you can believe it. Right? And so it was very easy for a husband to divorce his wife. He basically just had to say, "I divorce thee." Right? And so in this film, Mary Magdalene's husband said, "I divorce thee." And she said, "Okay." And he said, "You can go." And she said, "Well, I grew up here. I was raised here. This is my home. My father gave this to us." But in that time, the law was the husband was the landowner. The land and the property could not be passed to the woman. Right? So this was a really kind of life-changing moment for me to watch that. And we're going to kind of tie it all in a minute. But then there's another biblical story that we're all familiar with Esau. And Esau sold his birthright for a bowl of soup or a bowl of stew, right? And it wasn't just the selling of the birthright that was a really big deal. It was that the firstborn that had the birthright got the blessing of the father, right? So not only did he lose his birthright, his inheritance, he also lost his father's blessing, right? So being a landowner in the kingdom of God, right, is not physical, it's spiritual. And so when we go back here, our previous slides, what is it that you're a landowner of? Well, how about your mind, your will, and your emotions? Right? This is, and then we have our conscious, our intuition, our communication with God. This, yeah?
For this, would you consider the subconscious from the mind being controlled by the spirit?
Would I consider the subconscious of the mind being controlled by the spirit? No. I wouldn't. There are a lot of things that are in our subconscious that can even drive our behaviors that are definitely not necessarily in our best interest that need to be actually counseled by the Holy Spirit for us to change some of our thoughts and belief systems, right? So have you ever heard that saying, don't believe everything you think? Right? And then we have another thing that we're going to talk about with epigenetics later, which is if you're not thinking your thoughts, then who is? Sometimes we have childhood experiences with our parents, grandparents, caregivers, right, that influence our subconscious, things we don't even remember, right, that drive our behavior, that create thoughts, beliefs, and then actions. So I don't consider the subconscious part of the soul. That was a really good question, though. Or the spirit, right? Anyway, so we have an inheritance. And one of the things that's really fascinating, another fun matchmaking fact that you're not going to hear anywhere else, is that men call me in the evenings and the weekends. Women call me from work. Both equally in crisis, right? But women have a really hard time compartmentalizing what is going on with their mind, their will, and their emotions when they're experiencing relationship trouble, right? And so they can't concentrate on work. They can't separate it out. Women are global thinkers, right? So they have a really hard time when something's going on relationally, being able to do all the other things that they need to do. Men, on the other hand, can compartmentalize and focus in a linear way on one task at a time. So It's really interesting with my female clients when we go through this process, right? And I tell them that they have a birthright, they have an inheritance, they are a queen in God's kingdom, right? As a child of God. And they are a landowner, and their land is currently being hijacked by a squatter or a sharecropper, right? Because maybe they've been an absentee landlord. Okay? And so, one of the things that I have them say and repeat after me is, I am a landowner. I want all of you to say it.
I am.
Right. Doesn't that feel good? Right? Especially when I'm talking to my single moms or my women who don't own a home. Right? Or they don't own any property. Right? Our inheritance isn't just physical. Right? And so let's say that you are a woman and you are a queen who is running your own kingdom and you are a landowner. Not only are you expected to expand your kingdom, but you're also expected to defend and protect it. Right? And that is something that a lot of women, we'll go to that, we'll take a break before that. That is something that a lot of women and men also have a problem with, is understanding how to create clear boundaries to defend and protect their kingdom so their mind, their will, and their emotions are not hijacked by another person, right? And so next, we are going to go a little deeper into this topic and a little deeper into dominion, and right now I think we're just going to take a little break.